give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again?
Welcome to Hopecasts, where our true stories brighten your day by providing insight and encouragement. I invite you to listen as my husband, Dr. Ken Brown, shares one of his amazing personal experiences that will inspire and stir your soul. Even in the challenges of life's darkest moments, you can always find a glimmer of hope through the love of God. So settle in, open your heart, and let's journey together through the power of storytelling.
Deadly illustration. Sometimes things happen that you cannot understand or explain by human logic. In June 1986, in my capacity as a Metropolitan Toronto police officer and the secretary of the Fellowship of Christian Peace Officers, I left Toronto and took a trip from Toronto all the way out to the West Coast, sharing Jesus with police officers and speaking at every major department. I was sharing about my hope that we have through a relationship with Almighty God. I had to answer the question that all officers were saying, how do you think you can even serve as a cop and still be a Christian? So I flipped that in their head to them by answering, well, simple. How, in fact, can you be a cop and not be a Christian? In fact, there are no atheists in foxholes. And in this life, there's going to be problems. There's going to be things that you're going to be seeing, things that you're going to be experiencing, things that you're going to be forced to do, a moral injury, and they will all take a toll on you. And only God can help us. We need him. We need God so much to renew us, to recharge us, to restore us. Otherwise, we'll be like that rusting tin man in the Wizard of Oz, not being able to move. And we need his dynamic oil to lubricate us, to help us to be able to move again. You see, life catches up to us. We rust, we corrode, we wear out. Muscle fatigue and metal fatigue. A lot of times there's a thing called, entropy, and we just will wear out. Well, city by city, I ended up talking to people, and I met this person, this police officer in Edmonton. Her name was Arlene Amillion, and we went for a ride along. I went for a ride along with her, and in that one evening alone in Edmonton, we had 12 arrests. Now, there were bar fights, drunk and drug arrests, and we had to be a cop to enjoy it, but we did. It was action-packed, and our idea of fun. You see, it was the opposite of boring. We did so many things, and we had great talks. And the next day, we decided to go to the West Edmonton Mall. It was, for many years, the largest mall in the entire world. It had a huge indoor water park, a theme park, and the highest indoor roller coaster until 2020. Imagine that. That roller coaster was 145 feet tall, 60-plus miles per hour, and it opened on December 20th, 1985. Just 6 months before I got there, and I was in awe. Wow, there were three trains on this roller coaster at a time with four cars in each train, and it was whizzing and whizzing around. And I visited this theme park the first week of June in 1986. And with Arlene Armillion, I was excited to go on the ride. You see, I never met a roller coaster I didn't like. But what happened was I was standing there, and then suddenly I heard a clatter. I heard a clank. What I heard, I didn't like. And I said to Arlene, did you hear that? Did you hear that? No. I said, there's something wrong. And I waited. And all of a sudden, I heard that clang again. I said, there's something seriously wrong with this ride. No, there's not. She said, this is inspected. This is just only 6 months old. This is state of the art. I said, Arlene, I'm telling you. She says, no. You're insulting. This is my city, Edmonton, and this is the biggest indoor mall. And of course, they would take care to make sure this was okay. Well, I said, I'm not so sure. In fact, I had an argument with my friend right there in front of this for nothing, just because I thought I heard something. I actually went over to the service desk and I asked them to come and do an inspection. I flashed my badge. Do you know what they did? They closed the ride and they had ladders and they went and inspected that part of the track. And they said, no, the track is secure. There's nothing loose. I said, but don't you hear it? I didn't hear it all the time, but I heard it occasionally. And then I heard it again. I said, didn't you hear that? No, they didn't. I said, look, there's something seriously wrong. I said, Arlene, I'm not going on this ride. She says, you're not going on a ride? I said, this is the first ride I've never gone on, but there's something seriously wrong with that. And I put my name, my phone number down in the service report, and I asked them when the park closed that night, for them to do a thorough inspection. Well, we continued with our trip and came home. And literally a week later, on June 14th, 1986, just a week after I made that report, there was a horrible news report. There was a disaster at that. The last car of one of those trains jumped the track and smashed into a pillar, and four people were smashed, thrown into the ground 100 feet below, and three of them instantly died, and one was so seriously injured. And then I received a call from the RCMP and from the investigators of the crash. Because of my written report. Now they were investigating me. They were saying, how did you know there was a danger? And how come you made a report? I said, well, I heard it. No, it was inspected. How did you know? How could you have possibly known that that was going to happen? I said, I didn't know it was going to happen, but I heard something, and that's why I made the report. It was only after they did the inquest that they said that they found that the track, in fact, was okay. But that last car had four high tension bolts that kept the car onto the track. And these bolts were not properly installed and they severed. There was metal failure because of the constant bending and turning. And that's what caused the train to flip up, smash into a post at 60 miles an hour, and propel the four passengers onto the ground below. And the disaster occurred. It was at that point that I started to think, isn't that what life is like? Isn't that what I was telling these officers? That no matter how strong you are, no matter how well you think, you may be a brand new cop, and you might look like the West Edmonton Mall and the Mindbender. You might look like you're the best roller coaster and the strongest person, but the fact is this, things are happening to you. There's metal fatigue, there's a twisting and a bending and a contorting, and it's all taking a toll. And one day, without the Lord in your life, you will snap, just like those metal bolts snapped. We need a relationship with God to renew us. We need God in order to rebuild us, so that doesn't happen. And I believed that that was a deadly illustration of everything that I was telling these cops. Many of the cops did not want to listen to me because they didn't see a need for God, just like people didn't believe that that roller coaster could fail because it was new and state of the art. But you know something? No matter how strong you are, living inside your own strength will always fail you. You need the strength of God, the renewing power of the Holy Spirit, in order to keep you in the middle of life. And this is not just a story for police officers who need God. It's a story for all of us, because Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. That only makes sense if you have God in your life. Because in this world, there will be tribulation that will wear you out no matter how strong you are. But be of good cheer. If you have God in your life, He's with you and He will renew you. And my prayer for you is you're listening to this little story and you wouldn't let that happen to you. To this day, I don't know how God had revealed that to me, to the point where I stood my ground, even against my friend, and made a report in order to warn everybody. But I am giving you a warning right now. And I don't know you, but I do know you. I do know that if you don't give God a chance in your life, there'll be spiritual fatigue, not just mental fatigue, not just mental fatigue. At some point, you're going to break without the Lord. You need the Lord to rebuild you, remake you, reshape you, make you into a new person. You need God in your life. Please listen well. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning into HopeCast for inspiring stories that will touch your heart. If today's story encouraged you, then please subscribe to our channel and visit us at hopecast.org to learn more. You can also watch the video version of this story and many more from Dr. Brown on our HopeCasts, YouTube, or listen on our Spotify, Apple, or Amazon Music podcasts. Until next time, keep holding on to hope, and please share these stories with someone who really needs encouragement. May God bless you.
I've been searching and I've been seeking. It seems like you're nowhere to be found. And I'd do anything just to see you. If I close my eyes, will I see you now? 'Cause I know faith holds in what can be seen. But my hope feels like a distant dream. Give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again?